Scripture reading today will be Psalms 37, verses 5 through 8. Psalms 37, verses 5 through 8. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
Morning. Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. So glad that you're here. If you're visiting, we count you as our honored guest. I'd like for you to stick around for a little bit after services. Let us get to know you, get to know you better, and invite you to be back with us any time that you may be able. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We'll be getting back to Psalm 37 in just a moment. But I want us to notice first Galatians chapter 5. We know in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentions meekness. And we've talked about meekness in times past and just in passing, but we want to center our focus this morning on that word, meek. And this morning, as we consider what it is, as we did last week, last Sunday evening, what it means to be a Christian, let's consider as well what it means to be meek. And friends, let us choose as Christians, let us choose to be meek. In Galatians chapter 5, we read, beginning in verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let us study this word this morning, meek or meekness. Friends, I believe, number one, as we've talked about before, that word joy and what it means, the acronym for that, Jesus first, others next, yourself last. Friends, we need to put first and foremost God and Jesus before ourselves. Others need to come before ourselves. And friends, sometimes we need to step back in order to step forward. Now, let us consider that sermon title this morning, Choose to be Meek. You know, the worldly definition of meek, as we have discussed before, is what? Weak. To be meek is to be weak. The worldly defines meek as someone who is weak, someone who may be, in our worldly terms, we may consider a pansy, a coward, a chicken, if you will. Someone that's not going to stand on their own two feet. Friends, that's not meekness at all. That's not meekness at all. A random definition of meekness that someone has put forth is humbly patient. Friends, meekness is much more than just that, being humbly patient. When we consider meekness, friends, meekness is strength. Meekness is courageousness. Meekness is trust. It's commitment. It's fearlessness, conviction, and other brave-hearted characteristics. Meekness, friends, in a simple definition, is having a cause bigger than oneself. That's meekness. So the objective this morning is to learn what it is to be meek. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, we read, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We find that, as we mentioned a moment ago, in the Sermon on the Mount. What do we learn from that? What do we learn from Jesus and His words there in Matthew chapter 5? He's preaching that sermon up on the mountain. Friends, what we learn is that, number one, meekness is important. Number two, meekness is not about us. And number three, meekness, while it's not about us, it is about God. Meekness is about God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, if you will. And I want you to notice with me verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. We're familiar with this verse, I'm sure. Normally we start there in verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth," and go on to talk about the light. Notice verse 16 and what Jesus says here. "Ye are the light," or the verse 16, "let your light so shine before men that ye may see, that they may see your good works." And notice the end of that verse. It's not for our own glory. It's not so that we can place ourselves upon a pedestal. But friends, the Christian life, Our lifestyle as Christians is to be so lived that others may see our good works as Christians and glorify not you or I, but the Father in heaven. When people see how we live, when they see how we conduct ourselves, Jesus is teaching us here how to glorify God in our lives. And our aim, as we said a moment ago, is for our Christian lifestyle is to make others to think about God. Now, let's turn back over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll get to our passage there in just a moment. As we read Psalm 37, we may notice some verses here that may actually point to the words of Jesus there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. In Psalm 37 and verse 11, we read, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Almost word for word there, isn't it? The words in Psalm 37 to the words of Jesus there in Matthew chapter 5. They're almost identical. If we look at Psalm 37 and verse 9 there, especially at the end of the verse, we read, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." What do we learn here? Let's draw some conclusions. If the meek shall possess the land, if they're going to inherit the earth, and those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the earth, then what do we see? Friends, the meek are those who wait for the Lord. The meek are those who wait on the Lord. And from verses 11 and verse 9, we can see the early text here in Psalm 37 is talking about the meek. Now, as we truly get into our study for what it means to be meek, staying there in Psalm 37, I want you to notice again the verses that Daniel read for us a moment ago in Psalm 37, 5 through 8. We read there, beginning in verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Then there, in verse 5, says that we are to trust in Him. To trust in the Lord, and He will do it. Friends, if we are to be meek, we must first begin by trusting in God. We must place our trust in the God of heaven. We must believe that He will work for us, and we must believe that He will show us right in the face of opposition. We must place our undivided trust in Him. Friends, biblical meekness is rooted in the deep confidence that God is for you and not against you. If we are to be meek, we must believe that with all of our being. In Romans 8 and verse 31, Paul writes there something along these lines, "If God be for us, who can be against us? Really, no one of consequence." If we were to go and we were to look throughout the Bible, we see folks that put their entire trust in the Lord. We look at Joshua demonstrating that trust in God at the walls of Jericho. As we've talked about those walls there in the book of Joshua before, what military sense did it make for them to walk around those walls of Jericho and blow a trumpet? They had no battering ram. They had no ropes to pull the walls down. They weren't relying upon any of that. They were simply trusting in God to do as He said that He would do. And He did just that. We were to go a little bit further, we'd see Gideon in the book of Judges. If we look, and we were to do the math, and I did this at one time, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but friends, Gideon had 300 men, something along the lines of 20 or 40, something like that, to one odds. And still, he trusted in God enough to go up against the camp of the Midianites and the Amalekites. What kind of trust did David have in God as he stood before the giant Goliath? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? As they stood before the king and they looked him square in the eye and they said, "Our God is able. He is able to deliver us," they told the king. And then they went a step further and said, "But if he chooses not to, then that's okay." And they walked through the fiery furnace without even a hair on their head being singed. And the account says that they did not even smell like smoke. My friends, I don't know about you, but I can't stand over a grill for 30 seconds without smelling like smoke. And they walked through the middle of a fire. They placed their trust in God. Daniel demonstrated that trust as the law was signed, or the law was put into place that any that were to pray unto anybody but the king then would be cast into a lion's den. And as soon as Daniel knew that it was put into writing, what did he do? He went and he prayed, as was his custom. And he was cast into the lion's den. We find Jesus himself demonstrating that trust in God on the way to the cross. In the garden, he prayed unto the Father, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." We find Stephen demonstrating such trust as he was stoned to death by the Sanhedrin. We find Paul demonstrating that trust as a prisoner on his way to Rome, and through the beatings that he suffered, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Friends, if we are to be meek, and these were some truly meek men, we must first place our trust in God. Those men chose to be meek and place their trust in Him. Friends, what we see as well is not only do the meek trust in God, but the meek commit their way to God. Again, notice verse 5 of Psalm 37. "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Now the word "commit" here is the Hebrew word meaning literally to roll. To roll. And so what we're talking about here is people would roll their lives. They would get it going in a direction so that they would commit that way. You couldn't turn back. They committed themselves unto God. Meek people trust God and roll their way, so to speak, unto the Lord. You roll your problems over to God. Your relationships over to God. Your health, give it over to God. Your fears, give them over to God. Your frustrations, give all of that to God. And those that are meek admit that they are insufficient to cope with the obstacles of life. We can't do it by ourselves, can we? Can't do it. If we had to go through this life and do it all by ourselves, friends, we wouldn't last. Not at all. Can't do it. But the meek believe God is able and willing to help, willing to guide, and willing to protect them. Matthew 11 and verse 30. Jesus there in offering the great invitation tells all those that are weak, that are weary to come. Why? "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, we need to give our burdens to God. We need to give them to Jesus. The meek commit their way to God. The meek know that they are spiritually poor, Matthew 5 verse 3. And that they can't deal with things on their own. Friends, if we're going to be meek, we need to trust in God. We need to commit our way to God. And number 3, the meek are quiet before God and wait for Him. Notice again verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Friends, meek folks patiently wait for the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that they're lazy. This doesn't mean that they're not doing anything, but rather they're free of frenzy, they're free of panic, they're free of worry. They have a steady calm that comes from knowing that God, number one, knows all. That calm comes from knowing that God can do all, that He has their affairs under His control, that God is a gracious God. And friends, what we can know as Christians, as a meek Christian, is that God is going to work things out for the best. Romans 8 and verse 28, Paul writes there unto the Romans, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together how? For good. God's going to take care of us. And meek people have a quiet steadiness in the midst of upheaval. Why? Because we trust in God, because we commit ourselves to God, and because we are quiet and wait for Him. Friends, there are times that we have to wait for God's timing, don't we? What did Shadrach, again, going back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say to the king? Our God is able, but if not, in other words, if He chooses not to, it's in God's hands. They trusted themselves in the hands of God. In Acts chapter 16, 22 through 26, we find there Paul and Silas singing in prison, waiting on the timing of God. Friends, there are just sometimes we've got to wait on God's timing. Something else that we learn here in this passage in Psalm 37 is that the meek don't fret over the wicked. As we look at the end of verse 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. What we see there in verse 7 and 8 is that the meek don't fret or anger themselves over the wicked who prosper. Friends, why do the wicked always seem to be doing so well? You know, it may be easy to get wrapped up in frustration over something like that, over sin that seems to be rewarded. But friends, when we think about it, who has really the blessings in their lives? We talked about this in Bible class this morning, didn't we? The spiritual blessings found in Jesus Christ. We must be in Christ in order to receive those blessings. There are no spiritual blessings found outside of Him. So truly, who are the ones that are blessed? It is the Christian. We sing a song oftentimes in services entitled Farther Along. Farther Along, we'll know all about it. We'll understand why. But the meek focus upon that promise of heaven. The meek focus upon Christ, not the world. So what does meekness mean in Psalm 37? Friends, as we read in Psalm 37, meekness means trusting in God. Committing our way to God, waiting for His timing, and not becoming angry about the benefits of the wicked. Let's notice some other characteristics of meekness as well, though. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. I want you to notice with me 1 through 4. Numbers 12, 1 through 4. Here we have described for us an occasion when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses. Numbers 12, beginning of verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now in the following verses, the Lord rebukes Miriam and Aaron and vindicates his servant Moses. But I want us to notice verse 3 a little bit closer. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, here we see meekness between opposition and vindication. Why call Moses meek right between the bitter opposition and God's vindication. Perhaps the point is that meekness means committing your cause to God and not needing to defend yourself. Just where would we expect the text to tell us that Moses, what Moses said to justify himself against the charge of Miriam and Aaron? The text says he was the meekest man on the earth. Right here where we would expect Moses to stand up for himself, it says that he's the meekest man in all the earth. Moses doesn't say a word. Instead, what's he do? He waits patiently on the Lord. He doesn't worry over these critical words. And who comes to his defense but God? As we notice, this next, the fifth characteristic of the meek, we see that meekness, friends, trusts, it commits, waits for God, keeps from anger, and meekness also refrains from revenge and defensiveness. You know, when we think of meekness and this characteristic, and we see Moses here in this instance, we see that meekness is the power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing back. The meek understand that vengeance belongs unto the Lord, Romans 12 and verse 19. So meekness will trust, it will commit, wait for God, keep from anger, and refrain from revenge or defensiveness. How about another characteristic? Let's turn over to the book of James. Let's look at James chapter 1, beginning of verse 19. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Friends, there are two kinds of people. And James has that in mind here as he writes this passage. The Holy Spirit writing with James here. A person who does not take that time to listen to what other people have to teach. He has fretful anger. He doesn't listen. He doesn't hear. He knows it all. That's type number one. Type number two is the person who is receptive to the Word of God. He will listen to the Word of God. He will consider the Word of God. And he receives with meekness, with humble patience, that Word that God has for him. And thus the sixth characteristic of meekness, friends, is that of being teachable. Open to reason. This means we don't have a resistant, hostile spirit when we're being taught. And it doesn't mean that we're gullible. We will never get angry about what some people teach. It's not what that means. Verse 19 says that we should be slow to anger, not never experience anger, but be slow to anger. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 29, I am meek and lowly in heart. But in Mark 3 and verse 5, it says that he became angry and grieved at the hard-heartedness of the Pharisees. Matthew 21, he drove the merchants out of the temple and turned over their tables. We see anger there. But he was angry and sinned not. Meekness is not the absence of passion and conviction for the glory of God. It does mean, however, that we don't have hair triggers. This meekness comes from wisdom. James 3 and verse 13. James writes there, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We go down to verse 17 and we read, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What's the Scripture teach? Friends, it teaches that there's a correlation between meekness and being open to reason. Meekness is going to listen to the reasons for another's opinion. Meekness will allow one to calmly give the reasons for your own opinion. And this happens because we want to please God and we're seeking His Word. The sixth characteristic of meekness is being teachable. Open to reason. Be reasonable. The seventh and final characteristic. We find, friends, that meekness cares about truth. Meekness cares about truth and whether others agree. Matthew 28:18, Mark 16:15, Colossians 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All of these verses emphasize the spreading of the truth. Teach us to go and to spread. If we are spreading truth, then we want folks to embrace it, and therefore our meekness may become passionate and powerful. Friends, remember, meekness is always a servant submissive to a higher standard of truth. It is willing to change its opinion into line with truth. And meekness knows its own ability to make error. But for that reason, meekness takes debate and argument seriously. It wants to understand its own errors and put them away. Deference is not meekness. Friends, if we have a discussion and we do not discuss our different opinions, then we're not being meek. But rather, we're being weak. We defer our reasoning because we don't want to put ourselves to the test against higher truth, but hold to our own perceived truth. Notice with me Galatians 6. Galatians 6:1-2. Notice what Paul says here to the Galatian brethren. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Friends, meekness is to be slow to speak and slow to anger, but when it decides that it must speak, it speaks with a deep awareness that it's fallible. Notice what he says, "Ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, all the while considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Matthew 7:3-5, we see there Jesus talking about judging righteous judgment. Don't go and try to get the speck out of your brother's eye until you go and get the beam out of your own eye. It wouldn't make any sense otherwise, in any other way. Friends, meekness in a manner of speaking is like a doctor with a surgeon rather with bad eyes. I don't want him operating on me without his glasses. Meekness seeks truth and what is right in all of its dealings. And we must be like, a boxer. He doesn't work out with a ceramic boxing bag or punching bag, does he? He works out with a bag that is stuffed so that it can take and absorb all those repeated blows as he's training for a fight. Friends, we must be like that punching bag, absorbing the loving blows of our friend's instruction. And maybe sometimes some constructive criticism. Meekness loves the truth and wants to learn. What about the full portrait of biblical meekness? As we consider our lesson this morning, friends, biblical meekness begins by putting one's trust in God, by committing our way to Him, by waiting patiently for the Lord's timing and handling all things. Biblical meekness begins by not giving way to quick and fretful anger, by letting God deal with the vengeance department, by being open to reason and by caring about truth, even if it means that I need to be corrected. What does meekness have to do with God? Friends, meekness begins with God and ends with God. The meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness, as a fruit of the Spirit, is a promise. What effect does Jesus want these promises to have on the disciples? On those that would follow Him? Friends, He wants that promise to motivate Christians to continue in their meekness. We read in verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's Galatians chapter 5, by the way. The promise of great reward gives strength to endure. Friends, we have God. We have His promises. And we can trust that God delivers. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. You know, man has a tendency to want control. But as we talked about a moment ago, meekness is having a cause bigger than oneself. And as such, meekness can be a scary thought. Because when we're meek, when a person is meek, he gives control to God. We don't have that control. We give our lives over to Him. When one is meek, we're admitting that we cannot survive on our own, that God knows what is best for us and what will glorify Him. And friends, He will guide us with the truth of His Word. Our question for each one this morning is, will you submit to God today? Will you choose to be meek? Friends, if you would make that choice this morning, do you believe in Jesus Christ? If the answer to that question is yes, friends, are you willing to repent of sin? To turn away from sin, commit your life to God, confess Jesus before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Would you do those things this morning? Would you be His? Submit yourself unto Him. Friends, are you here this morning having done those things but fallen away? Would you come home? Would you choose to be meek once more? Friends, if you would make that choice this morning, would you come right now while we stand and while we sing?